We kick off hour number two of the program live from the Truly Hard Seltzer studios of Fan Run Radio. Pick you up some Truly Hard Seltzer for this weekend's game. It's a noon o'clocker. You got to stay refreshed, hydrated. Don't want to get too bloated.
Get some Trulies.
Some Trulies in there.
Billy, what type of flavor of Trulies are you wanting to drink during the game and voluntary reaction tomorrow?
I like them all.
Oh, man.
The pomegranate, sneaky good. I didn't like the passion fruit. Did not crack my top five. It wasn't bad.
Mm.
But pomegranate, oh, baby.
Raspberry lime is number one for me.
Still number one, raspberry lime.
I haven't tried.
Oh, you haven't got the rosé
yet? Yeah, I haven't tried it yet.
Got a fresh box in the fridge.
Huh, must be nice.
Waiting for the weekend.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Black cherry, though, is moving up my ranking.
Okay.
That's a popular one.
I think it's number two.
People really like the black cherry.
I'm not a big mango fan, but apparently if you like mango, like if, you know, or if you're, my wife loves mango margaritas, and she said the mango was top shelf. So there you go. Take that.
Mango's good on with anything. Like mango flavored anything is so delicious. Big mango guy.
You are?
I don't know how to pick them though.
I'm not.
Like I'll go to the store and find them, and I'm just like, is this a good one? Is that this one's really soft? This one's not soft enough.
You just do the stuff like in that commercial where they're doing all the funky stuff.
It wasn't a long enough post to have it in the vial for life, but once Tennessee first started selling alcohol at Neyland Stadium, which we knew was going to happen, I just saw one comment. The grammar was bad, but all the comment said was, I hate alcohol drinkers, but he basically misspelled every single word.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how that guy's feeling right now.
So I'm a little confused.
Houston Crest Fan Club tweets in. I want to give him credit. I don't run this account. UTC's Rusty Wright was in the Georgia State staff from 2016 to 2018 and is close friends with Panthers coach Sean Elliott.
Oh, great.
Wright will come into this game the same way Elliott did. If you're UTC, you're smelling blood in the water. Blood in the water. No doubt. This would be a great week. I'm telling you guys, this would be a great week. If you can find it, just doing some quick looking at my bookie and based on similar lines, if you lay $100 on UTC, you're going to win somewhere between $1,800 and $2,000 if the upset is pulled.
I have a friend that just texted me. The line for Tennessee Chattanooga, money line for Chattanooga is $6,700.
Wait, what?
Yep.
You got to lay $6,700 on Tennessee to win $100.
Right.
Okay. Usually that number gets cut.
So the flip side
significantly.
Would be, that's probably still over four grand, right?
No, it's not. No. Like Bama's.
Maybe you cut that much?
Yeah.
I thought read the Bama ones you had.
You got to put five.
I thought it was 3,000.
I thought I just...
You said like 3,000 something to win $100 on...
I thought it was 5 something.
Bama.
Was it?
For South Carolina.
Last time
but
Bama...
But it was 1,600 the other way. It was about half.
Last time Bama and South Carolina played, South Carolina won.
2010.
Is this game in Columbia or Tuscaloosa?
Yep. It's Columbia.
Nate, I'm sorry. I think you might be right here. So it's half, it looks like. Because Bama, if you lay $100... if you want to win $100 by betting on Alabama, you have to bet $3,125. You would then win $3,225 back. So you would obviously make what you bet plus $100. So you cut that in half for the South Carolina money line. So Tennessee's, what'd you say, Billy? $6,700?
Yep.
So you'd win $3,350. $3,350 if you bet $100 on UTC and they spring the upset. So you can buy the win tomorrow for $100 or get rich.
Winning is fragile.
Oh, God. Captain Touchback tweets in and says, I respect your loyalty to the sponsor, but 5% ABV is not going to cut it this season.
Well, that's why you mix it with volunteer vodka.
Yeah, I ain't been to that.
See? We just put the sponsors together. Everybody's happy.
We're really good at that.
Yeah.
It's teamwork.
Yeah.
Teamwork make the dream work. Oh, this truly is amazing. Could be a little stronger. Glug, 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 glug. It's made with
easy peasy
corn and red grapes. The volunteer vodka, I mean.
It's a great mix.
It's
because the truly is not too strong. It's just a hint of those flavors.
Exactly. It's what you want.
Try one if you haven't yet. Let's go to the next door home group hotline.
The birthday boy has called in.
If UTC springs the upset and you want to move away, Eli Corman, Keller Williams got you covered. T-Carp in the
glow.
It's his birthday. Maryville wins last night. Beats Alcoa. Good grief,
T-Carp.
What
was the score of that one?
17-3. It could have been like 30-3. Maryville had four turnovers, and Alcoa still couldn't do anything with it. So I don't know how Bear and Phil are doing this morning. Just learning that, you know, Maryville can hand them the game on a silver platter, and they still can't do anything, even with our best player out. So
I just didn't really play.
Yeah, what did you say?
T. Hodge didn't play.
Yeah, T. Hodge didn't play. The backup running back ran all over him, got like the player of the game, all that.
True.
So
wow.
It's not really wrong. Jacked up for Maryville. Yeah. When it comes to this UTC game, though, guys, if you want to make some money, pull for UTC. I mean, like you said, get rich. When I was at work yesterday, someone was picking up some Truly Hard Seltzer, so I'm going to have to pick some up in the grocery store.
They're sweeping the town by storm.
They are.
It really is.
I'd never seen them before you guys started talking about it, and then I'm like, gosh, they're in everybody's little underneath cart, so it's working.
Yes, it is. The local Kroger here was sold out the other day.
Yep. Sold out.
They're going fast. On a serious note, though, do you think we'll see the backup quarterbacks play significant amount of time this game?
Man, I'm worried that the game will be kind of closer than they'll want. Like, Tennessee will be up, but it'll be kind of closer, and then when they get in, I was going to say yes until you said significant amount of time.
Like, I don't expect
that's what I'm worried about.
A backup to play in the first half at all.
Oh, so you don't think they play in the first half, Davey?
No. I think they should, but I don't think they will.
I think they should, and I honestly, to get this season back, you've got to win some games. I just don't know how many you're going to win with Garantano. If you look back at the BYU game, I mean, I feel like you significantly had better offensive line play than you did in the Georgia State game. I think your defense was better. I know they gave up a few, you know, bonehead things, but I honestly think the one thing, kind of your ball and chain, was your quarterback play. And if you can get any better quarterback play or just something where Chaney's not handcuffed, I think you can win some football games, which will help. I mean, that's the cure-all to this is win football games, and I just don't know how many games Garantano can lead you to. So, you know, and the big thing with Schrower and Mount was, well, man, they're going to throw interceptions. Well, the BYU game, my goodness. I mean, Garantano should have had more. So I think you roll those guys out there and give them a shot.
Well, like,
that's just my opinion.
No, I'm with you, T-Carp. Like, that's my question. Like, okay, they're going to throw more interceptions, but are they also going to throw more touchdowns? Because there were a lot of touchdowns to be had against BYU that were left on the field.
Yes.
Like, there were wide-open receivers. Like, I get it. You know, if things are tight and the play is not correct for the coverage, yeah, they might make a mistake and throw a pick. But JG does that too. But the problem with JG is not only is he doing that, he's missing the wide open touchdowns. He's had Palmer for a touchdown. He's had Domwood Anderson for a touchdown. He had a touchdown right before the half to Jennings. If he throws it anywhere between a foot or 20 feet more to the right, it's a touchdown. Are they going to make those throws? I can live with a couple mistakes. Like, I'll take four touchdowns and two interceptions every day over 1-1. Like, it's not that hard.
Also, I think those two guys are more mobile than Garantano, and that matters when you don't have a lot of offense or you don't have a lot to do on offense. If you can get a guy that can at least scramble and get you 3-4 yards, that can help rather than two or three yards backwards. Guys, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thanks, T-Carp.
Have a happy birthday, buddy. We hadn't talked about this on air, but if you go back and you look at last week, Ty Chandler led the SEC in rushing yards. So it's like,
should have called that one.
You knew, or BYU should have known that, all right, the quarterback is pretty much useless in the second half of that game. So they even, I thought, tried to take away the run a little bit, and you still were able to exploit it.
Well, here's the problem. Ty Chandler could probably have another big day against UTC, but that UTC would probably take that because when you're the underdog like that, you
run the ball, slow the game.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, if Tennessee runs the ball all day on us, as long as we can keep the big plays to like 9 or 10 yards instead of like them gashing us for 45 at a time, like if we can just, because, you know, if we give up a 9-yard run or a 10-yard run, but then we can get a stuff and all of a sudden it's 2nd and 10, then we've got a chance to get off the field, right? 2 more plays when we get off the field. You know, if they run the ball for 0 and then 5 and now it's 3rd and 5, you know, we've got a chance to get the drive stopped. So, I mean, Georgia State, there was a key point in the ball game, I think it was late in the first half, where they had a chance to end the half tied as Tennessee, they got the they were running the football like way too much and everybody was booing. And then all of a sudden it was like a 3rd down, it was the Juwan Jennings play, and they brought the house. Like Georgia State brought the house trying to just end that drive right then. And that's when it made it easy for Garantano because it was man-to-man coverage and he hit Juwan, and that was the big play that ultimately led to them attempting to get a touchdown and settling for a field goal. So I don't know. UTC might blitz a lot, and UTC's coaches might talk to Georgia State coaches a lot. But I think what BYU did, where you sit in a lot of zone coverage and you play soft and you force Tennessee with their lack of game breakers to have to go down the field and execute over and over and over and over and over. That's what I think teams are going to do to Tennessee moving forward. I don't know how successful UTC will be at it, but I guarantee you these SEC teams will sit in a lot of zone, force, you know, Tennessee's offense might look a little better because it is moving the football with 6, 7, 8 yards. But the plan will be, hey, they can't do it for a long period of time. They'll settle for field goals like bend but don't break. If I'm UTC, that's the approach. I want Tennessee to, sure, own the time of possession. That's fine. Let's have a nice slow slog game where, you know, 3 of your possessions eat up 6 minutes each, but you settle for field goals on all of them, and you've scored 9 points, eating up half the football game. Like, that's what I would do if I was the underdog.
Last week against BYU, Tennessee led time of possession 33 minutes, 59 seconds.
Like, if I'm playing against Tennessee right now, I want to very carefully pick my spots to blitz and try and bring one extra guy from a weird spot and then sit in zone defense, because if Garantano doesn't realize that guy's coming, he might get home. But even if he doesn't, I know that he struggles to throw it into the windows even when his guy's open.
So
I think I don't know. I think I'd try to stop the run and just let Garantano throw all over me and let him make mistakes. If I'm sitting in zone, I feel pretty good about that.
All right, Nate, are you saying kind of have a similar defensive – UTC have a similar defensive approach to what South Carolina did last year?
Yeah, and what BYU did last week. I'm with you, though. I would bring my guys up, but keep them in zone coverage. So I would have them tight to the line, but as soon as they see pass, they're dropping hard. In fact, I mean, I would almost have them dropping hard no matter what. It's like, hey, you're starting close to the line of scrimmage. You start bailing at the snap. You only come up once the running back is at the line of scrimmage, coming back at you, if you're in the secondary. That way, everybody, all eyes are on the football the whole time, and you can gang tackle and get it done. We'll come back with more. Talking UTC and Tennessee, of course. Game Day Edition brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Welcome back into the truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. As Tennessee gets set to take on Chattanooga, we never really talked about it, but Dominic Wayne Anderson's missed practice this week. It's a infection in his
foot. Missed Tuesday, I thought.
Foot. Yeah, he was back Wednesday.
And yesterday. Yeah. And he'll be back for the walkthrough today. But they don't expect him to play much. Austin Pope, come on down. He was better against BYU. He was hitting some people.
And we think Batuli's going to get a little run, going to play a little bit, according to the way kind of Pruitt's talked about it. That's good news, I guess. I mean, he's been kind of limited when the media members have seen practice. But if he can just – if he's on tap to play just a little bit this week, surely he's good to go for Florida next week. I mean, we criticized Butch Jones big time about getting guys hurt. Pruitt in year one, I thought they did a great job of keeping guys healthy. This year, it's been tough. I mean, Emmett Gooden seems kind of like the normal one catastrophe you have each season. And then, but then Batuli, that deal, that's really sucked. I mean, Bryce Thompson was a character problem.
If Batuli and Thompson play games one and two, probably win them both. I'm not saying that's an excuse. You should have won them anyway, but do we feel that they do win them? I think they probably do.
Maybe. Well, I mean, yeah,
that's two difference makers, man.
Yeah, if you get both of them, because Batuli would have really helped against the Georgia State run.
I don't know. Like, is that?
I give you BYU for sure. I'm still a little hesitant to give you that on Georgia State.
I don't know. The Georgia State, though, with Batuli roaming sideline to sideline at full health, I don't feel like they're able to run it the way they did. Plus, that's going to help Henry even more in game one, having a veteran beside him. Again, I don't know. I don't want to use that as an excuse, but we talk all the time about how thin this team is at certain positions, middle linebacker being one of them, and then corner. I mean, Burrell got beat for – did he get beat for a touchdown against Georgia State?
Yeah.
Yeah. Might have been the difference, those two guys. I don't know. Because not only are they good players that might not give up plays, they might make a big play. Like, Bryce Thompson's kind of a ball hawk at corner.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's going to affect the way you call the game, too, when you're missing two studs like that. Again, you inherited Batuli and he got hurt. But without him, like, there's not a lot behind him. And then Bryce, you went out and got him, and then you had to start a true freshman in his place who is good, but he's not as good as Bryce was last year. I mean, I like Warren Burrell. He's got a way to go. He's got to gain some weight. He's got to get some confidence. So I don't know. I don't want to use it as an excuse, but I do wonder if you've got those two guys on the field, how much better are you through 2 weeks? But health is an issue for every team. Health and, you know, suspension. So
yeah, I mean, every team's going to have some guys out. And the problem is there hasn't been quality depth behind them at all. If there was any type of depth, well, like you said, it still shouldn't excuse losing to Georgia State for sure. And like Davey said, I mean, BYU, anybody else on the field that makes one play wins you the game because you have that game won anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's tough. Apparently Bryce Thompson not going to play. Pruitt said he's not
in game shape.
Yeah, got to get conditioned better.
Wouldn't you play him to get him in game shape in a game?
I would some. Like, surely he could play some, a few snaps. I think that's not the real
not
reason.
Not returning, but.
I think they want to say, oh, we set this guy for three games.
That's 25% of the season for allegedly.
A misdemeanor.
Yeah. And yeah, that's
I mean,
I
think he's guilty of the misdemeanor. He
breaking the gate.
It down or whatever, but still, it's a misdemeanor. It's I mean.
It's like jaywalking.
Traffic stop stuff, right?
Yeah, I guess. Maybe not quite. Maybe it's a little further beyond traffic stop. I just worry about the mentality. Like, people are asking it, kind of laughing about it, but like if one thing bad happens early tomorrow, does this team shell up? Do they quit?
Well, I've said it. Like, if you throw a pick or you fumble on the first drive of the game,
which we're good at.
Yeah.
Second play, first play.
Like, what happens? Or if you go three and out, three drives in a row.
And I think Billy has a good point. Like, I don't know how many UTC football fans there really are. I mean, I'm sure it's a somewhat significant number, but if there's ever a game you're going to travel to Knoxville to watch that team, it's this one, right? Like, this is the year that you're thinking, maybe, we can go up there and get it done.
Yeah. I mean, it. I want to say that they'll be more alert to the upset because it's already happened this year. That, like, lightning doesn't strike twice type of thinking. But I'm kind of with Billy that, like, because it's already been a reality, if it starts to happen, do you go, oh, crap,
yeah,
it's happening
you
again?
You sink back into that reality. I remember when Butch got here, that was kind of a thing, right? You know, before we kind of realized it was all false and phony. Like, teams have to kind of learn how to win. And last year, you know, Auburn and then Kentucky, you thought maybe this team was figuring it out, right? What it takes to prepare, what it takes to play with energy, what it takes to win and be confident about winning, even if things don't always go your way. it's like we've hit the reset button and we have to relearn that now.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it worries me tomorrow that if something doesn't go very, very right early, if this game, if it has the Georgia State feel, right, where it's kind of like, we're up three, we're up four, going to half. I hope the coach has learned the lesson from the first game and are willing to kind of press, I don't want to say the panic button, but the let's go make some plays button. I mean, if I'm Jim Chaney tomorrow, if I'm this offense, I'm coming out with the goal of, I don't care if we turn it over four times, we have to score 50 points. Like, that's the goal. You got to score 50. And then just hope the defense can do what they're supposed to do. Like, I think tomorrow you can learn a lot and still, you know, make mistakes, but also still comfortably win unless you start to play tight early and forget that you are just the more talented, superior team. But can this team really even play that way? I know a couple guys can, like Gray, Chandler, Jennings. Those guys are going to give you everything they've got. They're going to play at a high level. What happens if Garantano makes a mistake early? What happens if the defense gets burned early or gives up a long touchdown drive, you know, kind of one of those chip away drives early? It's, oh gosh, do they start to kind of feel sorry for themselves and, whoa, woe is me, oh, no, we're not going to. That's the only thing that scares me. It shouldn't happen. Tennessee is much better than UTC. But, again, until the team kind of breaks through, and it's so weird to be talking about a breakthrough win against a team like UTC, but that's just where we are. Until they do it, I mean, this team has not handled adversity well this year. They just have not.
No.
You know, Garantano throws the pick in the second half against BYU, and the rest of the game, it was just kind of like holding on for dear life at that point.
Until
you
broke loose.
You held too tightly and then got beat deep and obviously goes to overtime and loses. So if I'm Chaney, I try to instill confidence by calling confident plays. Like, hey, this is a difficult concept. This is a big play shot. We're calling it because we have to hit it and get you guys ready. If I'm Jeremy Pruitt, I'm going for it on fourth downs, at least early, and then I can adjust the game plan as necessary. But the coaches need to come out tomorrow and demonstrate that they have confidence in this team to try and instill it in the players. Because right now, I'm guessing the players probably don't have that much in themselves, especially if something were to go wrong early.
When we come back, I'll give you a little more perspective on where Chattanooga was picked preseason in the Southern Conference, how that relates to Furman, who seems like they were about the same as Georgia State. That on the flip side. Stick with us. Hour two as we preview Tennessee and Chattanooga tomorrow. Noon at Neyland.
Noon o'clock.
This afternoon, the Drive will be broadcasting live from National RX in Farragut, out on Kingston Pike, across from Farragut High School. They'll have a pair of tickets, parking pass to give away for the Chattanooga-Tennessee game tomorrow. They'll also have some tickets for the wrestling event on Monday. So swing by and check out Russell, the bear in his natural habitat, and enter to win some prizes.
I feel like that is not his natural habitat.
Did you see the video Russ posted yesterday of Russ listening to Bear's phone calls?
I did.
Voicemails after the Georgia State debacle.
It's pretty good, except you can't really hear much words because they have to be all bleeped out.
A lot of bleeping.
Yeah.
He didn't have to bleep it. Probably wise that he did.
Well, that was after the Georgia State win. If Chattanooga wins, I can't imagine Bear's reaction.
His phone will be broken.
Yeah.
If that happens.
But I do have the preseason prognostication from the coaches of the Southern Conference.
How good is UTC?
They were picked fourth in the league. Wofford was picked to repeat as champion.
Mm-hmm.
Furman was picked second with one first place vote. And keep in mind, this is just the coaches, so there's only 9 votes total.
Furman
was picked
almost
second.
Almost beat Georgia State.
Yeah, they were up double digits on Georgia State at their place, so pretty comparable opponent. Randy Sanders and ETSU picked third. Mm. They also got one first place vote. And Chattanooga came in fourth behind those three.
Wofford's got all that Jerry Richardson money to.
It's true.
Stay on top.
True. They have more dollars per student of any Division I school in the country because they're the smallest Division I school.
Hmm.
and they have Panther money. Old school Panther money, not new school AAF Panther money.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Wait, that's the Hurricanes guy. Forget all what I just said. Anyway.
I normally do.
Chattanooga's Bryce Nunnally, as we mentioned, the wide receiver, was first team offense.
He's good.
They have a back that apparently hasn't done much this year, so I'm not sure if he's injured or what the deal is there. Because the guy I was talking about earlier is the only guy with any, like, 5.5 carry guy, whatever, is the only guy that's really done anything. But Tyrell Price was second team. He's a senior running back, so I'm not sure if he's been banged up or what the deal is there. They also have one offensive lineman that was second team offense. But really, the defense is where they have more guys, all Southern Conference. They have a linebacker, Marshall Cooper. And then they have Maxwell as their best interior lineman. But then their two safeties both made first-team defense, Brandon Dowdle and Jarrell Lawson.
Any relation to Rico?
I don't know. I'll have to check into that. Brandon Dowdle and Jarrell Lawson, two returning junior safeties. The corners are new. Safeties are experienced. Which means I think you're
going to see... So the guys playing zone are experienced.
You're going to see a lot of zone, I bet. And a lot of three deep, two deep zone, maybe some quarters.
Oh, God. That's undersized sure. D-line, guys that can drop back into coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Excellent.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it.
That's all I got. I mean, in reality, these two teams are... I mean, levels and levels apart.
So the 28-point spread, you think is a good number?
Yeah.
They played South Carolina last season and lost 49-9.
Okay.
Same quarterback. South Carolina about like Tennessee last year.
Right.
I mean, Tennessee should roll it up on these guys.
I do think it'll be – I mean, like, I think Tennessee will win, but I don't expect us to score more than 30.
30?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we scored these first two games. Surely we can score more than that against...
Well, it took took overtime to get there.
It was like
I know. I'm just saying that's a much better defense.
Technically, you didn't score 30 because I said Tennessee needed to score 30 to win the game.
Yeah, they really scored 16.
And they didn't. You scored 14 against Charlotte last season.
True.
And 24 against UTEP.
Yeah, but I mean, what was the other team? The ETSU game, 59, right? Something crazy like that.
I mean, Georgia State lost to NC State last year, 41-7. They were a lot better than that this year.
That's true. Good point by you.
Seeing that the over/under looking around 51 points.
You haven't scored over 30 points since ETSU.
What's the over/under you said?
51.
So they're thinking like 42-7, 42-9, something like that, around that number, based on the line.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to take the under.
Holy cow, what a stat. Did you hear that?
No, I missed it.
Say that again, Billy.
Tennessee hasn't scored over 30 points since ETSU.
Second game of the tenure.
How many do we score against Auburn?
30
on the dot. Kentucky was 27, right? 27-7?
24-7.
24-7.
Mm-hmm.
Probably could have scored more. Kind of took the foot off the gas there.
Lost to Vanderbilt 38-13. Beat Charlotte 14-3. Scored 21 against
punt
Florida.
Return. That was a punt. You scored 7 on offense.
12 at Georgia.
Need a defensive touchdown tomorrow. Defense or special teams would be pretty cool.
But Tennessee ETSU from last year is the comp to this year's game. I mean, ETSU, a better team than Chattanooga, and you won 59-3 or whatever it was. It's like that's what you should expect, is that type of performance.
Is it weird if I come out right now and just say I don't think Tennessee's as bad as we think they are, but obviously they're not as good as we'd hope they'd be?
No, man.
Like if they played Georgia State again right now, If it was Georgia State tomorrow and you happen to play them two times in the first three games.
Yeah, I think they'd win by 17.
Yeah, I think so too. So the question is,
how
much better?
You beat Kevin down Cherry Hill?
You beat Brad in the turd toss? You know what that's from, Billy? You've seen that one? Little Giants?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Just making sure.
Annexation of Puerto Rico.
Intimidation.
They gained a yard.
Second and nine. We're just going to quote Little Giants the rest of
the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
The rest of the show.
Fumaruski. 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 I use these for acid indigestion. Call me Icebox. Call me Becky. That's not some girl. It's my niece. And she's pissed.
I'm just going to say, how long you can do this?
The O'Shea brothers. Somebody's holding a pound of Aunt Betty's nut butter right there, and there's a live ball. Cowboys recover. First down, Cowboys. Junior Bevel.
What's
Spike.
The line? What's the line tomorrow?
28. That's 28 over under 51.
Sounds about right.
So it's a 41-42-9-7 type game is what they're predicting.
Yeah, yeah. 42-7.
Is that your pick? You officially in now? 42-7?
Yeah, I got time to change it.
42-10, no cover?
Got about 45 more minutes.
No, 42-10's a cover. I'm sorry. 42-10's a cover. 28 points,
you're
yeah.
You're down? 42-10?
No. I have 2 hours to figure this out.
Okay. No, you have about 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Unless you want to do another hour.
I got an hour before we do our picks officially. Tomorrow's going to be a different day. Tomorrow, Tennessee looks like we thought they'd look. They will be who we thought they could be tomorrow. Okay. Tomorrow's the day.
I do think they'll be more focused. You have to be.
They were who we thought they were.
It's
you
just weird.
Crown them.
Like, how do you overlook Georgia State but then not look just so prepared against BYU? That's the frustrating
thing.
Yeah,
it's like you've already been spending 2 weeks preparing for that one and you still look like crap.
I mean, at this point, they need to win by infinity tomorrow and then win in the swamp for people to be like, okay. I mean, I think if you had told a lot of people, hey, 2-2 start, okay, for sure. If it's 2-2 and your wins are UTC in Florida, people are going to be feeling good. Because then, like you said, Nate, you're right there at the top of the SEC East, and you get a bye week before Georgia. There was a rumor yesterday that Georgia fans are trying to buy up a lot of tickets, and black and red checker the stadium. So that's out there. We might get that checker kneeling that so many people have been fawning over. You might get it, and it might be red and black. I encourage people to please not sell your tickets to Georgia fans, whatever you do. If there's ever been a fan base outside of Florida that deserves to just eat dirt, it's those guys. So let's not sell the tickets to Georgia fans. I get it. You want to make some money. My guess is Georgia fans will pay through the teeth for these tickets. Take those tickets and either don't use them, that's your right, or sell them to a Tennessee fan, or just give them to somebody who will actually go. Or maybe who won't go, but who isn't a Georgia fan.
We striped the stands at Central one time in red and black, and it looked really good.
Red and black is an intimidating combo.
Mm.
Could look real good in Neyland.
Oh, Billy?
Billy, what did you say that money line was for chat that your friend sent you?
3,700.
I found one that was a 2,500.
Okay.
Which number? Tennessee is
no chat. Yeah, Tennessee's minus 7,500.
Oh, and you got 2,500.
Yeah,
that's so it's a third to go. Chat, still $2,500 for $100. Mm-hmm. If the unthinkable happens,
mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, man. If I can find that number, I might throw a hundo on the mocks just to buy the victory.
You're just throwing it away.
Maybe I'm not throwing it away. I'm buying a win. We got to get a W on the board.
I
think 7-5.
The season away.
You're doing your part. You got to vol leave.
Wait, you came down to 6-6 still, right? Or were you at 4-8?
No, I went to 5-7 on the reset.
Okay,
these were two wins. I thought
that,
we had. I thought
note.
We'd be 3-0.
What did I say?
3-0.
You're at 4-0.
Oh,
I said 4-0.
I thought we'd be 3-0 headed to the swamp. What an
Billy
idiot
and
I was.
Nine.
No, I'd
big dumb animal.
No, you
Yeah, Billy's at 2-10.
Okay. Well, I did not copy anything down right except my own.
You really went 2-10? Like, that's official?
Until, I mean, I'll just, yeah.
I don't think it's a bad pick.
I'll be surprised.
Give me 4-8.
I want to be surprised.
It's in the record books now.
I thought I'd be surprised. I had it at 6-6.
I'm actually the same as I started because I had 6-6 with two when we'd be 2-0 right now. So I'm actually, I have the same prognostication.
Yeah, I just
except I was just wrong Houston, for the first two weeks.
Houston was 7-5.
I've only been wrong about everything, but I'm sticking with the same.
7-5 to now 5-7. Nate 6-6 to 4-8. Me 6-6 to 3-9. Billy 6-6 to 2-10.
Great final segment. Hour two.
This is fun, guys.
Love it.
Final segment, hour number two. It's brought to you by Robin Porter and her State Farm agency right here in Knoxville. Avoid the unavoidable and have Robin Porter on your side with State Farm. 4806 Washington Pike, or give them a call at 865-546-0668. Obviously, you can get in contact with them through the website as well. Just type in Robin Porter, State Farm, and it'll take you right to it. 865-546-0668. If you need insurance or thinking about switching and getting quotes from different people, give Robin Porter a shout and tell her you heard about their agency right here on 3 and Out and Fan Run Radio. So, are you feeling better? I mean, realistically, like, if you have to get, like, closest to what's going to happen, I mean, don't you think that even if Tennessee makes mistakes, like, it'll just surely be able to...
Yes.
I mean, I felt so bad that to answer the question of do I feel better, it's a yes.
Yeah. Couldn't go the other way, really. Yeah. It was almost impossible. But to say I have a fair level of confidence in this team would be inaccurate. Like, I should probably be way more confident in them tomorrow than I am. But I also think that anyone understands why. At this point, after two games, it's very hard to put your kind of heart behind this team, and maybe it's your head. Like, my head says, yeah, this is, we're the better team, it should be a 45-6 or 9 type of game, everything's going to be fine. But my heart, that has now been punctured twice with ice picks in games 1 and 2, I can't get past that feeling.
My mind's telling me no.
Okay,
no singing on the show, Davey. From you, you cannot sing. You have the singing band.
What? Davey's John Lennon.
Apparently, you're Bulldog
Billy
now.
Give me a tuba, I can get something out of it.
Bulldog Billy now. Get that DM to me.
Bulldog? Oh.
Yeah, it's red and black.
Oh, yeah, he's a big red and black guy.
Bobcat
yeah.
Billy. That's what it should
How
be.
How does this always happen to you? BYU Billy, Bama Billy,
I'll say
Bobcat
one good thing.
What was the good one the other day that I liked?
Bullseye.
Bullseye Billy.
Bullseye
on
Billy.
On the ping pong.
Yeah.
I was
Steve when you said that.
Heater Chris.
Started.
9 out of 10.
Dang.
And I got you on the neck. I didn't feel bad about that.
Huh. He should feel bad.
Like, why? Because I hit you in the head?
In the back of the head. I had a concussion.
CTE. That explains why you're not worried about this game tomorrow.
Why worry about it?
Yeah, if they lose, I mean, they lose.
So, you know.
Like, what's on the line, really? Bowl eligibility?
No.
SEC?
Yes.
SEC standings? No.
If we have a chance at making a bowl, you have to win tomorrow.
You think we have a chance at making a bowl?
I think there's a chance. I'm not saying it's a good chance.
Samsonite!
Do you even want to go to a bowl game?
Yeah. No, this year. Yeah. This year, a bowl game would be awesome. Let's just win
you
all
think these players want to go to a
let's
bowl
go 8-4,
seriously.
All SEC wins, Atlanta.
All right.
That's pretty perfect right there. Just tap. Tap the table for Hudson on the Butch Jones giggle. Hat tip. Bluegrass Billy. Was that one? Did I miss that one? Someone said Bluegrass Billy.
No,
You big Kentucky guy?
I don't know what that would be for.
Kentucky basketball? Big fan?
No, I hate. They're probably my least favorite team.
Big Blue Billy.
Big Blue. Big Blue Billy Nation. George Ball tweets in and says, I want to know how is it possible that our two backups are nowhere near as good as Garantano. I can't get my head around that,
I
nor
can't
can I.
Uh-uh.
If they're not, that's fine, but can we just see it on the field then? Like, just prove us wrong.
At this point, just appease the fans.
Well, hang on. Like, I get that, but, like, we haven't been in a situation where you would do that, right? Like, because you don't want to bench him when you're trying to come back against Georgia State. And he had thrown, what, 2 touchdowns earlier already. You don't want to bench him late against BYU. Like, you can't bench him then. So we haven't really had an opportunity. Now, tomorrow, if you get a lead, if you get up 17, yeah. I want to see Maurer. I want to see Shrout. That way, if they make a mistake, it's not, you know, devastation. Obviously, that's the best case scenario. I'd also say if you get down 14, 13, 17, you better switch quarterbacks, especially if he's been the problem. My worry tomorrow is, like, he plays great, and this is the first game where the receivers are not playing well, and we got, like, tip passes getting intercepted or fumbles or something like that. Like, it's been a rotation of mistakes kind of from everybody so far. Like, offensively, a lot of that's been Garantano, but there have been a couple of fumbles, have been some drops, and then obviously the defense was not good at all against Georgia State, especially after halftime, and then they give up the big play right before the end of the game to set up the tying field goal. So it's JG's been bad. He's also probably played well enough to win both of these games if he gets a little more help from the defense. And I'm not sitting here trying to just make excuses for him because he's not played well. Certainly not played to anywhere near what he's capable of. Like, he's leaving touchdowns on the field. Not completions, touchdowns. But this is now going to be game 3 in a new offense. He's kind of relearning football from somebody who can actually teach it to him. He's actually getting coaching. Like, I do want to go back to what I said a couple weeks ago. Like, it took Crompton 3 or 4 games with Chaney, and then, boom, the light bulb goes off, and he's kind of fixed. It took Bray midway through the season, and then all of a sudden, boom, Sims played poorly against South Carolina. They put Bray in, and the rest is history. Bray looked like $1 million.
Okay. Everything you're
and
saying.
And that was a freshman. That was a true freshman in Bray.
Everything you're saying about Jarrett Garantano makes sense. Here's back to the previous point, though, of how can the backup guys not be ready. Do you realize that Zach Wilson of BYU is in the same recruiting class as JT Shrout?
I did not realize.
And guess who was rated higher coming out of high school?
Shrout.
JT Shrout. So basically, Pruitt has had this quarterback on his roster. It's a Pruitt guy, so eliminate your Butch Jones line of thinking.
Pruitt guy slash Helton guy. The rumor is that Helton liked Shrout more than Martinez.
Who's also been playing for 2 years at Nebraska.
Yes, but I mean, and I think people would agree, this is one of the things that people said at that camp he went to that had NFL scouts. Like, the guy has the arm. Like, that's not the problem. But he's only played 1 year of high school football. He started as a senior. He threw 27 touchdowns and 27 picks.
But you've had him, I mean, 2 years, and he's not ready.
But first year in Jim Chaney's offense.
Zach Wilson, rated worse coming out of high school and has already played for multiple years. I mean, there's other examples. That's just the easiest one to go to. I mean, I'm sure there are lots of guys on this list starting for their team as a sophomore, redshirt freshman at teams you've, you know, never heard of.
Look, and all this could just be like public posturing by Pruitt, right? I mean, this could be a situation where you don't want to bury Garantano in the media, and then we see tomorrow that he makes one bad mistake, and in comes Shrout or in comes Maurer, and it was all for naught. But maybe they're trying to massage Jarrett a little bit, you know?
Maybe, but that's not what the coaches are telling the birds.
Well, again, it's not their job to tell the truth to everybody,
right?
Like we've seen a lot of people close to this program, air quote, get absolutely burned by misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God love him, but Jimmy Hines was on the radio 30 minutes before kickoff swearing up and down that there was no chance that Lane Kiffin's team in 2009 comes out in black jerseys. I'm sitting there with a picture of the locker room from my friend who was a walk-on, black jerseys hanging in the like. They're not always right, the people that are quote-unquote close to the program. I'm not saying right. Hines in this situation. I'm just saying as an example. Like, people get burned all the time. There's another host in town who had been told that Garantano looked awesome and might have an NFL shot at the end of this year. Like, people don't always know, and they're not always told the right thing. So I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying let's wait till tomorrow, because if he comes out, maybe he comes out and it's 3 running touchdowns for Chandler, and then we are up 21 and he gets benched anyway. But I think tomorrow you're going to see another quarterback regardless.
We'll come back. We'll kick off hour number 3. Stick with us.
Big hour 3 this week.
Oh, man. Yep. To wrap up the week right here on 3 and Out.